Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the CONCACAF Champions League Review Show.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to another special edition of the Four You Seen's Fire American Soccer Show, the second leg quarterfinal review show for the 2015-16 CONCACAF Champions League. And yes, it is 0-4. None of the MLS sides has gone past the quarterfinals from the United States. Of course, we know what happened last year with the Montreal Impact. They went all the way to the final with a 1-1 draw at Club America, unfortunately losing 3-2 in the second leg, 4-3, on aggregate, as once again the Club America Mexican Liga MX sides are going through. Santos Laguna, Club America, Tigres, and, of course, Santos Laguna are going into the semifinals. It will be, once again, an all-Mexico affair as these four sides are advancing to the semifinals. And, of course, there will be two sides going into the CONCACAF Champions League final. And as we try to dissect everything that's going to happen here on this review show for the second leg of the quarterfinals, there is a sense of bewilderment at the same time, disappointment in these club sides from Major League Soccer that cannot find a way to go out and try to play either better, or maybe there's an issue here with what's going on with these clubs, how things work and everything, and or try to do what they can to go out there and play hard. And I'm not doubting they're not playing hard. They are playing hard. These players are playing very hard. I believe that they're doing the best that they can with what is basically, you know, at their disposal. And once again, where does the fault lie? And let's be truthful here. The fault lies both ways here. And let me say why it does both ways. There's no fault on anything towards these clubs from Liga MX. It's not their fault at all. There should be no fault listening or, you know, what they're doing to do what they need to do by preparing themselves for all this stuff. Now, once again, this is not their fault. They're doing what they're doing because this is what they do for their schedule. They play 8 matches before these Liga MX sides goes into the quarterfinals of both the first and second legs. Technically 8 to 9 matches that's already under their belt. These clubs are getting ready for their preseason in February. There has been a suggestion, friends of mine, of course, from the 5 Minutes to Kickoff podcast, saying that maybe the league, MLS, should start in February. Maybe it would be basically started a good 3 weeks early, beginning of February. And, you know, I don't mind that suggestion, to be honest. I don't mind that suggestion at all. You know, if we're going to get this league to start earlier and maybe get a couple of games under their belt, I think that'd be a pretty good idea. Now, like I said, I'm not against it. I don't think anyone would be against it, but you don't know what other people might think. Now, once again, you know, does this mean you got to start preseason earlier? And what, like I said before, I have no problems if MLS does want to make a move into starting the season a month early. But once again, you don't know who's going to have an issue with that. And I'm just saying it. You don't know if there's going to be opposition coming out. I'm not opposing it. I am not opposing saying maybe the league should start in February. The suggestion was the weekend after the Super Bowl. It's not a bad idea. I'm not opposing it. I think it's a pretty good idea. But you don't know who might be opposing it, and that's all I'm saying. You're just trying to be devil's advocate here, trying to be back and forth a devil's advocate as much as possible. But the truth of the matter is this, is that this league, and if we're going to point towards the salary cap as well as the single entity rules, and I've been one saying that for this league to continue to being where it is, and I don't mind having a salary cap in MLS. The truth of the matter is this. I think some of the designated player rules, not designated player rules, excuse me, I think the single entity rules are, shall we say, draconian and outdated. And it's time for Major League Soccer to really start loosening up. I'm not saying get rid of all of them. I've never said get rid of all of them. If they feel that this is the only way to keep the league afloat financially, fine. That's fine. Point is this. The point is that for this league to survive and everything, you know, they have to do some things. But once again, there are certain rules that really need to be erased. And while I believe that that's part of the problem on the Major League Soccer side of things, here's the other problem. CONCACAF has basically, they're not doing the job with this CONCACAF Champions League when it comes to the knockout stages. These knockout stages have always started either end of February or beginning of March. Brian Dunseth, who was analyzing Real Salt Lake Tigres' second leg on Fox Sports 2, was brilliant, and he said this: CONCACAF needs to start the scheduling of their knockout stages in late March, just so at least MLS clubs that are involved that do advance out of the group stage, they have some matches under their belt. And that's, I think that's all we're asking for, isn't it? Why is it all nations and all FAs within CONMEBOL are able to, you know, be under the same calendar for Libertadores as well as Copa Sudamericana? All nations, all national teams, all clubs, you know, they're all under the same way, the way that UEFA does it. Asian clubs for AFC, the African clubs for the CAF, CAF. It's just one of those things where it's just really tough to go out and try to basically just try to be under the same page. And right now, I think this is the only thing that everyone is not on the same page, because CONCACAF at the moment, and I'm, like I said before, I am not saying what the clubs from Liga MX are doing right or doing wrong. This is not their fault. You can't blame them. They're going by what they feel is how these things should work. And once again, it's a situation where, and I'm agreeing with this quote from Gonzalo Pineda, who said this, was part of, you know, watching these games from Mexico. And it's really simple, and I agree with him. It says, it's not Liga MX's fault that MLS has their calendar backwards compared to the rest of the world. And I'm not saying our calendar is backwards. basically that first part, it is not Liga MX's fault. And that is the truth. This is not their fault. They're doing what they are doing. But at the same time, you know, they don't play week in and week out up here in the Northeast, in the northern end of the country where, you know, in Canada, you're going to have to go play at Sky Dome or Rogers Centre in Toronto, the Olympic Stadium in Montreal, and BC Place where the roofs are closed or there's a retractable roof. I mean, you're expecting to look at these places and say, well, you know, why is it tough to play there? I mean, look, the winters are soft in Europe. The winters below Washington, D.C., when you get to Virginia and North Carolina and South Carolina and Georgia and Florida, obviously the winters are not that harsh either, unless it's a huge freaking storm that comes out of nowhere. But once again, you know, there are things that need to be fixed to make it fair for every side, whether it is coming from Mexico, from Costa Rica, even from Jamaica and Trinidad and Tobago, United States and Canada. It has to be better and fairer for everyone. And I really believe when you're getting out of the preseason, everyone is not at full strength or at full 90 minutes. Because you're going to see substitutions being made, brand new sides starting the second half with different players. I mean, once again, it's a situation where the scheduling has been a crux and against MLS sides. And it's not about whining. I just want to get this out of the way. We are not whining about this. This is not whining, complaining. It's just, you know, it's only about what is fair. Because if everyone is on the same page at UEFA, from clubs to national team to the Confederation, same thing with CONMEBOL, same thing with CAF, AFC, and yeah, even Oceania, CONCACAF has to be like that as well. CONCACAF has to understand that for the United States, they need some matches under their belt before these quarterfinals begins. And look, give Montreal full credit last year when they went to the knockout stage. They went to Mexico. They went to Mexico. They acclimated themselves to Mexico. They knew they had to play their first match down in Mexico against Pachuca, and they were able to get the away goal victory on Pachuca to advance to the semis, beating Alajuelense on away goals. And unfortunately, they couldn't do the job against Club America, but still, it was good enough for them to get as far as they could, and as far for Canadian soccer as well. But once again, it's a situation, the situation that plagues MLS teams most of the time, is this. When are they going to get an opportunity to really be at full strength? Not about, you know, who they're facing. It's not about the players they're taking on. It's about when will CONCACAF themselves finally admit there's an issue here? When will they finally admit there's an issue here and make the scheduling for the CONCACAF Champions League a little bit more later and more fairer to MLS sides as they get ready for the quarterfinals of the CONCACAF Champions League when they get to the knockout stages if they qualify for it? And this is now the situation that's going to be in front of the Portland Timbers, FC Dallas, Sporting Kansas City, the New York Red Bulls, and the Vancouver Whitecaps again, as the 2016-17 CONCACAF Champions League will begin this coming August. That is the situation that is in front of these MLS sides right now, because it's not about what you do in the group stage. It's going to be about what you're going to do when you qualify out of the group stage and go to the knockout stage. Do you follow Montreal's advice and go to Mexico and have your preseason there to acclimate yourselves, or do you go to do a regular preseason and get ready for it? And at the same time, does CONCACAF make this change? We have to wait and see what the situation will be, because this change is huge. This change needs to happen if you want a fairer quarterfinal matchup between clubs from Major League Soccer against Liga MX sides. That is what is in front of us right now. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have a great show for you tonight. Of course, we are going to talk about these clubs, the Galaxy, the Sounders, Real Salt Lake, with Heath Waddingham for RSL Total MLS. We're also going to hope to have Adam Serrano, the LA Galaxy insider. Hope to have Dave Clark from Sounder at Heart. And, of course, my first guest tonight, waiting for him to call in, and hopefully we'll get him on here and talk about this quarterfinal matchup between DC United and Querétaro is my good friend Jake Dudinsky, unfortunately not at the phone right now. So, once again, for DC United, it is a you're done. The fork was stuck in them early. DC United going down early, not just on aggregate 3-0, but of course that away goal that was scored by Angel Sepulveda, if I can say his name right, Sepulveda, as we said right off the bat, if DC United was going to go down by an away goal, it cannot be the first 15 minutes of this setup. And unfortunately, it was in seconds. It was in seconds. And for DC, it's just really terrible to see them go down like that. Joining me now, Jake Dudinsky, who saw the whole thing at RFK. And Jake, it was over before it began, unfortunately.
Yeah, it was extremely disappointing. It was, being at the game, it was definitely a little bit of a shocker. But if you recall, on this program last week, I said to you what I thought would happen, which was that if Querétaro got a road goal, it would be pretty much over.
And it was.
Lo and behold, 5 minutes in, there it was.
Yep, absolutely. And that's just the bad luck for DC. And, at least they were fighting hard to try and get something on the board. Unfortunately for DC, the penalty, I believe they scored a penalty by Julian Buescher to level the score at 1, but on aggregate it was...
No, actually, Dan, they missed the penalty kick, and Buescher scored from about the middle attacking area.
Oh, okay. All right, so, yeah, I know I saw them miss a penalty earlier. I didn't know that was on the same play, but anyway... Buescher leveled
the
score.
Here's what I'll say about that, Dan, really quickly, if I can.
Yeah.
Is that it's really frustrating as a fan, knowing that had they converted on the PK and had Buescher scored, which he did, that they would have gone the extra time had they not given up the goal.
Yep.
And as a fan, that is one of the most frustrating things I can tell you in the world. I mean, to put it bluntly, this is a team that, in my opinion, could potentially might be worse than the 3-win team.
Wow.
And I know that's a bold statement to make, but it is very, very possible, because, to be completely honest with you, there's no middle to this team. I mean, they tried to put Nick in the middle, and it just blew up in their face. So when my honest opinion is that, granted, this is a preseason team. They haven't really gotten in the full stride yet, so it's really hard to make assumptions this early. But I think the LA game and the New England game are going to tell a lot about this team, because – right now, based on just how they played against Querétaro, who was the weakest of the four Mexican sides, it doesn't look good.
No, it doesn't. And the thing is that still, it's just disheartening to see them not going out there. And they tried their best, obviously. But once again, you're in preseason form. The regular season hasn't started yet. And let me just throw this at you right now. What do you think changes should be done with the knockouts phase of the CONCACAF Champions League? Because I've already said this to open the show. I think MLS needs to open up the wallets and give more money to allow everyone to have more on the salary cap. And at the same time, I think CONCACAF has to make a scheduling change and let this quarterfinal begin, like maybe end of March, beginning of April. How do you see these things?
Well, I think that honestly, you know, you and I have had this conversation numerous times, Dan, off the show, where we've gone back and forth about whether we think it would be beneficial for either MLS to change their schedule or for CONCACAF to change theirs. You and I, think, both agree, regardless of whether or not we want it, that MLS is never going to change their schedule, at least not in the foreseeable future. And CONCACAF, you know, I feel like, to be fair to all teams, moving it a week or two later, you know, maybe to the end of March when DC and MLS have had some game time to get some actual competitive games under the belt, would make everything, I think, a little more fair.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, Dan, it's never going to happen because it's one league versus the rest of them.
Yeah. That is really true. And that's the one situation I think that we all have to look at. That's the one situation where, you know, hopefully there will be some form of calm heads getting together and finally having a discussion on all these things, because the truth of the matter is we got to have some dialogue and maybe fixing the situation that is in front of us. I mean, look, and I will agree with, you know, it's not Liga MX's fault that, you know, that they're dominating, because they have their own schedule and they have their own situation where they are trying to play their own games the right way. I mean, you know, MLS has no say in what Liga MX does. At the same time, Liga MX has no say into what MLS does. But still, if everyone else is on the same page with all FAs in UEFA and CONMEBOL, CAF, AFC, you know, why can't CONCACAF just try and do that as well?
Well, here's what I think it boils down to, Dan, and I hate to say this, but I think that the change is not something CONCACAF wants to do. I mean, it's very hard for a team to proclaim themselves as champions of the Confederation when four of the teams that they're playing against to become champion are in preseason form.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I think the biggest issue that comes from this is that not only are we looking at teams that are in preseason form going against teams that are in midseason form, but it raises the question of what can MLS do? I think that maybe MLS might consider letting the teams that are qualified for that play two games into the season earlier, move the season up a week into February, give them something. But I think until that happens, we're going to be having the same conversation year after year, because it's very hard for a team that's in preseason form, because let's be real, that's what all of these teams from MLS are right now, going against a team that has 8-9 games under their belt in a competitive league.
Yeah, very true. But let me ask you that question then, because what would you feel like, or how would you feel if the MLS season started the weekend after the Super Bowl? Would you agree to that? Do you think that would be a good move? Or, you, I mean, we know about the Northeast weather in the wintertime, but do you think maybe the preseason should begin in January and then get ready for a season in February and then play these quarterfinals?
I do. I think that maybe there is enough time within the schedule to shave off a week or two to make things start a little bit earlier. I firmly believe that. But I also think that there needs to be something done, like we've been saying, because as it stands right now, you know, we're never going to win Champions League. It's not going to happen until the schedule changes. And people can cut it however way they want, whether it's, you know, the MLS needs to change their schedule or CONCACAF needs to change their schedule. But what it ultimately comes down to is one man's decision to do what he thinks is best for the league. And that man, as you and I both know, who we both have a love-hate relationship with, Dan, is Don Garber.
Mm-hmm.
And Don Garber has stated numerous times that his priority is winning a Champions League for MLS. But every time we lose, he doesn't make any changes. So I'm getting mixed signals from him. But at the end of the day, you know, something has to be done. And I would be in favor of maybe moving the schedule up, or moving the season up a week or two early. I mean, because, look, even having one competitive game under your belt makes a world of difference. I know it doesn't sound like much, but these are teams that, you know, have been playing friendly in DC's case, against the Tampa Bay Rowdies. And so this is a lot different when you're playing another team in preseason form versus playing a team in midseason form.
Yep, that's very true. And hopefully there has to be some form of consensus from Commissioner Don Garber, as well as, you know, with CONCACAF. You know, something has to budge. Something has to give. And the sooner that happens, the better, that hopefully MLS teams will be able to compete with what's been going on.
What I will tell you, Dan, what I will tell you is that I do believe that the change is coming. I do believe that Don Garber, I mean, look, this is, you could say what you want, but this is probably one of the strongest group of four MLS has put into the tournament, the knockout stages, in a long time. You had Seattle, LA, DC, and Real Salt Lake. All of them, I don't really want to use the word shellacked, but all of them lost. And when you consistently put all four teams in, and by the way, this is probably MLS's best chance, because had they gotten two teams through, they would have had a really good look. I don't want to say that it's bad on the league, but I mean, for how long can we as fans sit here and just listen to Liga MX say how much better than us they are?
Yep.
I mean, they're playing our teams when they're in preseason form, and the thing is, we don't play them in the knockout stage. So I think that if Liga MX and MLS were drawn together in the knockout stage, I think some of these Liga MX teams might get knocked out.
Yep.
And
absolutely.
So I guess in closing, I mean, it's extremely frustrating. But at the end of the day, there's nothing you can do other than, you know, tip your hat to Quatero, because they in defense of Quatero, Quatero wasn't a slouch team like everybody put him off to be. That goaltender was insane. I mean, I have never seen a goalie like that in play in front of me in person. I mean, Bill Hamid is great, but I mean, what I'll say is about Quatero in closing is that they traveled well. I think they brought about 500 to 1,000 fans. They came from San Francisco and Mexico, and they were some of the nicest people. But even they said, because I had a talk with them on the way out, they said that CONCACAF needed to change because they were tired of playing preseason teams, because they wanted a tough confederation challenge for when they got to the Club World Cup. So I'll leave you with that, I guess.
That's fine. So listen, before I let you go, what's your opinion about Jermaine Jones no longer in the East and playing for Colorado in the West? Because the Revolution just traded him to the Rapids for a first round pick in the 2017 Super Draft.
I'm not really sure what my take on it is yet. I mean, I think Jermaine Jones has still got a lot left in the tank. I'm not entirely sure of the whole situation with him wanting to leave New England. But what I will say is that going to the West is kind of like a completely different ballgame. They play a very different style.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'll say is that I think he could be a good fit in Colorado. But, and there is a but, I'm not sure that he's going to make a big difference in Colorado, if that makes sense. Because Colorado isn't exactly one of those teams that was just one piece away from becoming a cup contender.
Very true.
You know, I think as good as Jermaine Jones is, I'm not sure that for him it was a smart move to leave New England, because I think New England can contend for a cup this year.
Right.
So,
well, we'll see what
happens. That's my thought on that.
No, that's
fine.
But I
want to thank you for having me, Dan.
No problem at all. Thank you for being on. I'll definitely have you during the season, and we will talk later. Take care, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Jake Dudinsky in D.C. as we talk about D.C. United, unfortunately falling to Querétaro on aggregate 3-1. And, of course, 1-0 on away goals. So, basically, all you can say is that it's one of those things where you just got to say it's just one of those things that it's just a little bit more difficult going forward when you have these moments here for these MLS sides going on. So, we'll see what happens, and we'll see what happens as we move forward and see what we can make up with it and everything else. But moving on now, hopefully we'll get Adam Serrano, the LA Galaxy insider, as we talk about the Galaxy. And, you know, like I said before, that's a tough one. That's a tough one for the Galaxy. It's really, really a difficult thing to see when you have a team like the Galaxy ready to go for the MLS season, obviously, and it's going to be difficult.
Is not available.
And Adam Serrano is not available at the moment. We'll try again a little bit later. But obviously, the situation you have is you got a star-studded team right now. So it's just one of those things for the Galaxy where it's been tough, a tough start, 0-0 at the StubHub Center, and then all of a sudden you head over to the Corona Stadium, excuse me, down in over in at Santos Laguna, and once again, it's just been difficult to see them getting basically blitzed the way they did. Goals from Martin Bravo. They got a pair of them. First one in the 18th minute. And then you have Bravo later on the second half, of course, in the 60th minute to really put the final touches on the coffin because the last nail went in. But still, Ulises Davila gets a goal himself in the 22nd minute. And Giannini, who made it 3-0 in the 35th. Of course, you know, the Galaxy will get most of the bookings on the night. So all you can say is that the situation really is this. Is that when you're seeing these things, but once again, you never know. Once again, you never, you don't know about these things going forward, and it's just one of those things, unfortunately, for the Galaxy that they went on all the way and trying to get them to play good, play hard, which I think they did, but once again, it's all about how many games are under your belt. And it's also about, you know, once again, you're in preseason form. You are in preseason form, and it's the same thing over and over again. Got to keep talking about it, and you don't want to talk about it, obviously. You don't want to talk about it. Let's see if we can get Adam Serrano on. And I think we have Adam on right now, the LA Galaxy insider. And Adam, you know, that's a really a tough loss on a Galaxy side that was pretty good at home in the first leg, heading down to Mexico.
It's part and parcel. I think for the competition, you're going to have some games that go against your way, and I think that the Galaxy were, you know, on the back foot to start the match, and you know, Santos got their goal. The Galaxy nearly equalized, you know, almost immediately, and then from there, you know, they just couldn't really put away their chances and did, and that's really all that she wrote.
Yeah, that's all it was, unfortunately. Let me ask you this question. I obviously it's frustrating to see not just the Galaxy, but, you know, you'd like to think at least the Galaxy and the Sounders, also probably Real Salt Lake. You know, you're coming straight out of a preseason, and then you got to go right into the quarterfinals of these Champions League matches in CONCACAF. Is there a situation where you think that CONCACAF should push back the start of these quarterfinals, or maybe MLS should dabble into maybe starting the season a little bit more earlier?
I mean, I think it's both, to be frank. I think that, you know, the common refrain from players and coaches is always that, you know, MLS starts their season far too late to be competitive in the CONCACAF Champions League. And then you look at the scheduling for Mexican teams, you know, who have an advantage. You know, I think this time it was about 8 games before the two ties were over. And, you know, that's just a tough hill to climb for a team that, you know, hadn't even played a full 90 minutes in a competitive match with each other before the first leg. So that's a difficult thing to do. And I think that if you saw this tournament change a little bit with, you know, maybe MLS teams starting their season a little bit earlier, and possibly I think that with the quarterfinals being pushed back, you know, maybe a month, 2 months, I think that you might see a little bit more of a balance there, because it's a tough situation to put a team in, to have to compete and to win without having played a game yet. So it's just a problem and something that, you know, you'd like to think will get fixed eventually.
You'd like to think, and I mean, I agree. I mean, if CONCACAF, and hopefully they'll fix this some way, because look, I mean, I've said this many times already. Why is everyone in every FA and UEFA, and even the Confederation of UEFA, they're all on the same page? CONMEBOL's on the same page. You know, they're all getting ready to play at the right time. And I'm not blaming, you know, the FMF. I'm not blaming Liga MX, because, you know, they have their own schedule. They have, they have the split seasons. And I understand that. You know, that's not their fault. You know, this is a situation where CONCACAF has to be more, you know, on point with every single country, whether it's the North Zone, the Central Zone, or the Caribbean Zone, to have these quarterfinals begin at the same time and be fair for everyone else.
Yeah, I mean, I think, granted, you know, Bruce Arena kind of always has a way to explain things, to kind of, you know, put things into perspective. And, you know, in Torreon on Tuesday night, and he said, you know, yes, the scheduling is something that really causes a problem for MLS teams, but let's be frank, MLS is the league that's not on the international calendar. You know, Liga MX is on that calendar, and, you know, MLS isn't. And that's something that causes a problem when the season is going on, because, you know, teams aren't able to really handle call-ups and the like. And, you know, it kind of hurts you here because you're going against, you know, the traditional grain, and it causes a problem. So, I mean, scheduling on sort of a micro aspect in terms of the competition is a problem, and scheduling in terms of this macro aspect in terms of the league being on the international calendar is also an issue. So, I mean, it's just a couple of big problems that lead to results. And, I mean, that's not an excuse, I think, for any team. You know, all four teams in MLS, you know, wanted to give this tournament a go and to win and to be CONCACAF title winners. But, you know, at the end of the day, it just couldn't work out.
Yeah, that's unfortunate as well. And, you know, future of CONCACAF Champions Leagues, you know, when it's the scheduling and, you know, like I said before, obviously there's going to be a situation where someone's not going to be happy. And yes, MLS is not on the international calendar, but once again, something has to come together where Sunil Gulati is on the CONCACAF Executive Committee, and he's also on the FIFA Executive Committee. So hopefully he can go in front of CONCACAF when they have a meeting, and hopefully he can just go and say, listen, we need to make it a little bit better and a little more fairer for everyone, and that includes, of course, clubs in Major League Soccer. I mean, that's the only way of going it. Either MLS has to budge a little or CONCACAF has to budge a little. I think that's the main crux of the situation.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be some talk on all sides, and you know, you want to see a balance because, you know, it's just the odds are stacked against you. And, you know, Bruce Arena spoke to the media on Friday and said, you know, when he's asked about why the team hasn't scored a goal in 180 minutes, you know, in the Santos series, he said, you know, if we had been 6 or 7 games into our season and we put in a performance like that, you know, I'd be very upset. At this stage, you know, it's kind of something that happens. So, you know, you can see that he's clearly not worried about how that affects the Galaxy's MLS campaign. But, you know, it's clear that there are still still kinks to be worked out with all four teams, as you'd expect in preseason mode, and, of course, with this tournament.
Very, very true there, Adam. Real quick, I don't know if you are aware of this or not, or you just saw this on Twitter. Jermaine Jones just got traded from the Revolution to the Rapids. You're going to have Jermaine Jones twice or three times a season now in Burgundy. What challenge does that pose to the LA Galaxy?
I mean, the Rapids are still very much, I think, a team in transition. They're a team looking for an identity. I don't think they've had an identity for some time, you know, ever since maybe they won MLS Cup. And then, you know, even then, that was still kind of an odd amalgamation of players that, you know, ended up winning a title. So there's all kinds of different issues. Jermaine Jones is coming to a very, very, very difficult conference, far better than the one that he's leaving. So, I mean, it's going to be a challenge for the Rapids. Can they compete for a playoff berth? You know, maybe, possibly. I don't know. I don't really see it. The West is just simply too good. It'll be interesting. You know, he could have potentially made his home debut for the Rapids next week, but he's suspended. You know, suspended till April, so you're not going to be seeing him there. So we'll see what he looks like when he comes in, and we'll see what kind of player the Rapids get. But, you know, I think the Galaxy like what they've done over the offseason. They like bringing in the likes of, Nigel Van Dam to work with Steven Gerrard, and they like their auditions, quite plain and simple. So we'll see if Jermaine Jones is able to kind of tilt any results Colorado's way when he is eventually able to play.
Absolutely, and I agree with you. I think the LA Galaxy right now, they are star-studded here. Great moves to pick up these veterans over from Europe like Nigel De Jong and Van Dam, along with Ashley Cole to join with Robbie Keane and Steven Gerrard. It should be a very interesting 2016 season for the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. Well, I think we might have lost Adam. I think we lost Adam, but that's okay. Oh, there you are. There he is.
Yeah. So,
okay.
So yeah, they're certainly a very good team. You know, but they're very much a team that is still a work in progress, and the Santos game showed that.
Yeah.
You know, I think you'd want to say that the Galaxy, top to bottom, are a better team than Santos Laguna. I definitely think so. And now we'll have to see what this team's really made of. You know, I think that Steven Gerrard and Nigel De Jong showed that they still have a little bit to work partnership. You want to see the back line get a little bit better. This team's still dealing with some injuries. So, yeah, I mean, the Galaxy have all the tools there to be a very good team, to be an MLS competitor, and to potentially win a sixth MLS Cup. But we'll see what happens.
Absolutely. Adam, listen, thank you again. Good luck with the rest of the season. Definitely love to have you back on during the season, and I will talk to you soon. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thanks a lot, Dan. I appreciate it.
No problem. Adam Marano, the LA Galaxy insider. Excuse me. As once again, the Galaxy, unfortunately, it's that preseason mode, and just got to find a way to keep on going and to keep on fighting. And, you know, once again, 0-4 with MLS teams this season, not able to get out of the quarterfinals of the CONCACAF Champions League. And, you know, it's just really, really disheartening. It's tough to see it. And once again, something has to give. So there's got to be some form of conversation discussing this. This coming Monday on the 40 Scenes Fire American Soccer Show, I'll have on Peter Wilt on the Chicago NASL to Chicago, Brian Korstad, of course, talking about Minnesota coming into MLS. And we're going to have on Brian Dunseth, analyst of Real Salt Lake, as well as Fox Sports and Fox Soccer, as we talk about this whole situation with MLS and the CONCACAF Champions League. Joining me right now is Dave Clark from Sounder Heart. You know, Dave, before we even talk about the match, or shall I say, let us talk about an incident that happened during the match. Why is it that why do I feel like Sambueza should have been sent off for what he did to Clint Dempsey? I don't care what anyone says, that was an accident. No, I felt that was intentional. I felt that he knew what he was doing, intentionally taking his stud and scraping the side of Clint Dempsey's head, cutting him open.
Yeah, I think so. In some way, you have to look at like first causes in this case. And yes, the first cause was some ways of fouling Dempsey, but the next cause was Dempsey grabbing onto some ways his leg and throwing him off kilter. And at that point, how much control does Simbueza have over where his foot winds up? He has no idea of what Clint is doing with his own body because he's trying not to get pulled down. Because it was rather clear that Clint was trying to pull Simbueza to the ground. I don't know. At that, there was a lot of wrong that happened there, if that makes sense. You know,
yeah.
Clint wasn't in the right. Simbueza wasn't in the right. And I think that when there's that much going on, a lot of referees, rather than make a tough decision on, you know, does Simbueza get a card, does Clint get a card, what level of card does both players get, the referees often take the easy way and just say, you know, in the NBA they would have called offsetting fouls. Same in the NFL. And so in soccer, I'm not necessarily surprised that the default there became, we're not going to call anything. Would it have changed the game? Yeah, quite a bit. Would a red against Simbueza have been justified? Most certainly. Would a yellow against Clint Dempsey have been justified? Most certainly. In the end, I'm not necessarily surprised that's the choice that the referee made.
I'll be honest with you. That was really I felt that Club America should have been sent down to 10 men. They should have had 10 men. Valdin Legaster did not pull out any card at all. And for Clint, what he gets is a tough gash, I believe, on the right side of his head, almost at the temple on the right side of his head. And unfortunately for him, that's the only thing he'll earn from that match. Great fight from the Sounders. They came to play. Great luck for them when they got that goal, the away goal, to make it 3-2 on aggregate. And it's just tough to see them giving up two quick goals like that before the halftime whistle.
Yeah, it's happened in, I think it goes back five matches, L.A., two to Dallas, where Seattle has scored first and almost immediately given up a goal. It happened in leg one. Happened in leg two, happened against Dallas. Remember in the playoffs where Chad Marshall scored the headed goal to put Seattle where they would have gone through and advanced to the Western Conference Finals. But instead, a minute later, Dallas scored. We saw it in leg one, saw it in leg two. It's now getting to the point where when Seattle scores, I'm expecting to give up a goal.
Yeah.
It was kind of heartbreaking, you know, for all of 1 minute, it looked like the Sounders were going to advance in the CONCACAF Champions League. And then they weren't. And then 5 minutes, you know, and then in added time, injury time, things were not looking good at all because they score, Club America scores again, and it's Simbueza with the assist again. The third goal really didn't matter because there was no way Seattle was going to score three that day. I think they probably could have scored two if they hadn't have gone down three. I would have been confident that they had some fight in them, but they did go down, and they didn't make a great effort of it. I think they ended with only two shots, only one on goal, because for some reason Nelson Hedo Valdez's little back flick thing didn't get counted as a
Yeah, that's always going to be the tough thing. But I will say this for the 2016 season in MLS play. The Sounders are going to be dangerous. They're going to be very, very, very a tough customer for the rest of the league. Doesn't matter if it's against the Eastern Conference teams or their Western Conference teams. I like what the offseason the Sounders did. They look really, really confident. They look really strong. Forget about, you know, this whole thing, unfortunately. I mean, obviously you can't forget it, but just basically saying this whole thing is over now. You can concentrate on the league and the Open Cup again. They look really fantastic playing the way they did in both legs of the quarterfinals.
Yeah, they played against a team where, let's see, Clint Dempsey is on par with players on Club America. And I might go so far to say is Chad Marshall and Brad Evans when they're on form, and Alonzo and maybe Andres Ivanchitz. But that might be about it. Maybe Valdez. You know, there's some guys that are capable of it. But they were playing a team that overall is better than them, and they looked okay. They didn't look completely outclassed except for about 5 or 6 minutes. They maintained possession well in the first leg. In the second leg, for the most of the first half, they maintained possession well. That's stuff to get confident about, because it's not like going up against the LA Galaxy or the Portland Timbers or Vancouver or Dallas. You're going to see a team that can counterattack as well as Club America. And some of those have great counterattacks, but not as well as Club America. And they're not going to defend as well as Club America, and Seattle still managed to get 3 goals. I mean, if you look at, again, the CONCACAF Champions League, LA, DC, and RSL, they combined for as many goals as Clint Dempsey scored in the knockout round. So yeah. That's something to hang their hats on. They know that if they play at the level that they've played at already this year, they're going to be a good team.
Yep, that's very true. I've been asking this with the other two guests that called in. Do you feel that Major League Soccer should start their season a little earlier, maybe in February, or do you feel CONCACAF should push back the start of the quarterfinals, like let's say end of March, beginning of April? What do you say about this?
I would have preferred that MLS allow the same thing that it allowed when Montreal made its run, and that was allowing teams to start their preseason 2 or 3 weeks earlier. This year, they didn't make an exception for CCL teams. So Seattle was forbidden from starting their preseason earlier. I think just getting 2 more weeks in a preseason would have made a world of difference. I don't think the schedule is the primary detriment. It's a detriment, but, you know, you look at Europa League, both Russian and Ukrainian teams have been on separate calendars, and they've been okay there. The reason they've been okay is because they're spending as much money, and they're distributing the money differently. If MLS threw in another couple million into the roster, they'd have better rosters, and we wouldn't be talking about changing the schedule. I think the simpler thing to do, rather than figure out, you know, CONCACAF and all of its madness, rather than figure that out, is just do something really simple and add money. MLS is getting better in that regard. The TAM did a lot for that. The 3DPs did a lot for that. The expansion, you know, to get Jordan Morris by adding in a significant amount of homegrown player money, that did it as well. If you look at all of those things, they added a lot of money from where they'd been a few years ago. And I think if they do that again next offseason, it'll be even better. So let's get there. Let's get there and let's empower our teams in order to succeed.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You know, we have to have, just got to find a way to make it a little bit more fairer. And like you said already, MLS needs to allow, if they are going to allow Montreal last year to get 2 extra weeks in a preseason to acclimate themselves, at least to play down in Mexico against some of these clubs that before they took on Pachuca, I mean, you're right. There has to be a way to allow these teams, if you really want, as a league, and of course the U.S. Soccer Federation, say, here we go, this is what we want, this is what we're going to go for, and we're going to let you go into preseason a couple extra weeks so you can get acclimated and you can be ready to go and play some of these games before the quarterfinals begins against some of these other clubs, whether you're going to be in the U.S., you're going to be down in Mexico. You're absolutely right, Dave. I mean, they have to have some form of liberty to have extra preseason weeks.
Yeah, and there's also the thing, you know, both the LA Galaxy and the Seattle Sounders in different ways blew their group stage. And if either one of them had done better, in LA's case, if they'd done better, it would have been LA versus Seattle in the first round. If Seattle had done better, the whole thing would have been torn up. Remember, Seattle wound up as the eighth seed. And there are a bunch of alternate realities where Seattle finishes in the top half of the bracket, too. So finishing better and winding up facing an MLS team, it helps you advance. We look at the only two teams that have made the finals in the format that we currently deal with. Yes, Montreal did beat Pachuca. Great, wonderful. They made the better run, the higher quality run than Salt Lake did. But when Salt Lake did it, the first ever Mexican team that they fought was the one that beat them. You know, so again, some of this blame lies on the teams. LA didn't have to go. You know, LA threw away a game, chose to, and suffered in the Champions League for it. Now Bruce knew exactly what he was doing. He got what he wanted. He wanted to rest his stars going into the playoffs, and he did. But, you know, that's on Bruce. Bruce could have chosen differently. In Seattle's case, they had a singular poor performance. They lost again. You know, and they barely got through. You know, it took a miracle to beat Olympia back when we talked about that last year. That was a game that they almost squandered, and they needed a miracle. And, you know, if they'd had a blowout in there. Yeah, and they were in a tough group. That was also, you know, they had another MLS team in their group. So things could have gone a lot better for MLS. And there are some decent reasons, some of them by choice and some of them not by MLS's choice.
Yeah, very true. Before I let you go, Jermaine Jones, I know you've probably seen it already. Jermaine Jones got traded to the Rapids. What does that mean for the Sounders when now you got to face the Rapids with Jermaine Jones on the club? Is it going to be a little bit harder, or do you feel Jones coming over, it's not that big of a deal?
I'm kind of, in Jones' case, it might be a good thing that he has this suspension to deal with, because he'll be able to get in shape and train at Elevation out there in Denver for a while, so that'll be good for him. But, you know, whether they play him as a defensive midfielder or a center back, I just don't see him. He's not going to be as cool as Nelson Hedo Valdez, and I know that's an odd thing to say because we think Jermaine Jones is a very physical player, but Valdez has the hold-up skills and knows how to play that style of game. And if he's dropping in the midfield, he's going to have to deal with Andre Savancic and Clint Dempsey. I think Seattle has the advantage in both of those cases. So to me, it doesn't necessarily change things for the Rapids. It does in their contest against Seattle. It does make them a better team. I'm no longer certain they don't qualify for the playoffs. I'm more of a, they could do it if everything breaks right. So that's a shift in the power of the West, where now I don't see a clear team that doesn't make the playoffs. Whereas before this deal, I thought Colorado was certainly out of the playoffs.
Well, Dave, listen, thank you very much for your time as always. I'll talk to you during the season. Good luck in 2016 in MLS, and I'll definitely talk to you soon, my friend. Take care.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Dave Clark, Sounder at Heart, SB Nation, my colleague at SB Nation now. Very excited to see this 2016 MLS season get underway this coming Sunday. But once again, it's tough. It's very, very tough to see what's been happening in CONCACAF Champions League action. And joining me right now to talk about that tough second leg quarterfinal loss. I don't think this is Keith Wadding him. It sounds like it's his wife. But
it's me. We're trapped at a drive-thru.
Oh, you're at the drive-thru. Okay, so you're getting me my Whopper, huh? No.
Oh, you got it, man. Unfortunately, we're at Chick-fil-A, so whatever you want.
Oh, that's even better.
I'll mail it to you, but it's got to be.
That's fine. I don't care. Freeze dry it. Fly it over. I'll have it right now. You mean you never built the Star Trek transporter room?
I got started on it, and then I ran out of whatever dilithium crystal or whatever it is.
Well, I will say this. who really needed the transporter room, unfortunately, was Real Salt Lake because, you know, look, I give them credit against Tigres. That was a hell of a match. They fought very valiantly. Unfortunately, as you know, you've seen it, I saw it, everyone saw it in the U.S., just not enough to at least force extra time. Before we even get to the Plata goal, let me just say this. And I understand that Javier Morales, that's his patented move at the penalty spot. He's got to do the stutter step. I understand that's what he's doing and everything. And, you know, if that's the way he scores the goal, then fine. Unfortunately for him, Nahuel Guzman made the stop. He didn't really bite on any of those moves. But if it's me, and I'm only talking about myself here, obviously, but I still feel if Javier Morales would have just straight up run to the ball at the spot and blasted it in, we would have extra time.
You know, I tend to agree that, you know, it's a better idea to just, you know, pick a corner and hit it as hard as you can, or at least, you know, make sure that you get your placement well enough that you can get it outside of the keeper's reach. It's always been hard for me, though, to criticize Javi too much. I mean, his conversion rate has been really good on that stutter step, even though it completely, I don't want to say completely backfired. I mean, the Tigres keeper actually dove to one side and just managed to get a strong left hand up. So the save was a great one, but you know, I tend to agree when it comes to form, just pick a corner and hit it. I mean, the keeper's guessing either way. And if you don't do the stutter quite right, you know, you're going to risk getting the penalty called back anyway.
Yeah. I mean, that's all it is really. I mean, look, I understand a lot of Salt Lake supporters were commenting towards me on Twitter, like he's been doing this all the time. And I'm not saying he should stop it. I'm not saying Javier Morales should stop playing that. Number one, you're not in great form. You're still in preseason mode. I mean, go out there, just forget the stutter step for now, and blast it. And even if you blast it and it goes in, of course, you're tied at 2 on aggregate. You didn't have to, you know, play desperate towards the end. And unfortunately, you know, the great French national team and André Gignac converted in an empty net. So, you know, that's all I'm saying. You know, you got to recognize where you are in this preseason. You haven't even played your first MLS game at all. And even playing 90 minutes down in Tigres is not enough to say, hey, listen, we're going to come back hard and we're going to beat you at home. While they did play great, you know, that moment you got a gift of a penalty, and you got to be fancy at the wrong time.
Yeah, and I definitely can understand that. You know, in general, I trust Javi's judgment on that kind of stuff, but I tend to agree in all cases. I mean, I've never tried a stutter PK. It's just something that requires a little too much nuance and a little too much attention to what the keeper's going to do. And if the keeper doesn't bite, you're really left hanging.
Yeah, you really are. But, you know, wow. João Plata, boy, I tell you, he is such a great player. And I still marvel how Real Salt Lake got him from Toronto, because Toronto, I feel, missed the boat there. And I'll keep saying it, that Toronto missed the boat there, because that's a hell of a goal he scored. Fantastic finish by Plata in the 21st minute. I think it was a rebound chance. I know he slipped it underneath the keeper, but still, that was a fantastic goal to at least get back on aggregate 2-1.
You know, it was a perfectly crossed ball on the ground from Yurimov Sisian. So the lead up to that play actually featured all three of RSL's kind of frontline players now in the 4-3-3. So you had I'm trying to recall if there was a breakup by Kyle Beckerman in the defensive third that was outletted to Burrito Martinez. Martinez got a move on, was able to put the ball forward to Yurimov Sisian, who was able to run it to the angle, to the corner of the box. And the ball that he played into Plata, when I first saw it, I thought, wow, that is a very poor cross. But I got to think he was kind of trying to do that. You know, he knew who he was targeting. He knew he had the shortest guy on the field. But his best chance was to just get it out in front of a defender put it between the penalty spot and the six and let Plata try to run onto it. And it worked out perfectly. I mean, he just barely cleared that defender, and it left the goalkeeper out of position.
And, of course, rest of the way from the goal from Plata all the way to the end, of course, the penalty miss. Yura Movsisian nails woodwork early in the second half. If that sucker goes in, boy, I'm telling you right now, that would have definitely brought the house down at the riot at the Rio Tinto. That would have been awesome to see Movsisian just coming back out of nowhere and converting his first goal back with RSL.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this was really a series of missed chances when it comes to RSL on the offensive end. They showed a lot of creativity. They had chances down in Tigres. They had chances at home. And I'm talking golden, almost on the doorstep chances. And they failed to convert on all but one. So to see it, you know, kind of just slip out of your grasp like that, it's tough for sure. But, you know, at the very least, it's encouraging to see that maybe with a little refinement as the season goes on, that the finishing will come and that you're going to see a potent RSL attack.
Yeah, it really was. Scary moment that we have to talk about, unfortunately. Very, very nasty bump on the head of Aaron Mound on that head-to-head collision with the Tigres player. I forgot who he collided with, but oh my God. I mean, you're talking about, I wouldn't say it's a golf ball-sized knock on his head, but I'll say it looked like a jawbreaker.
Oh, absolutely. It looked like he had it implanted under his skin. It was just a massive bump. And, you know, properly, the ref stopped play. Apparently, Aaron is just fine. No concussion. He was evaluated on the field and evaluated.
Thank God.
He's just fine.
Thank God.
Also, luckily for Tigres, after their guy laid on the field for about 4 minutes, he got up right off field and got right back into play. So, you know, everybody came away from that just fine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know Mound got subbed off for precautionary reasons. I'll be honest with you, I thought Mound looked a little woozy being helped off by the trainer, but still, I'm very happy that he's okay, that he's fine, and now that he is fine, Heath, I can pull a Bugs Bunny routine on you. Are you ready?
Well, bring it on. Bring it on.
How many lumps do you want? Oh, about three or four.
Oh, it's a good thing he said he only wanted one then, right? I mean, man.
No, that's one lump too many. You take the little mallet and you just knock it in.
Oh, man.
And for those of you that have never seen that one, it's Sneaky Pete Puma trying to get this little bunny rabbit that he's trying to get him for dinner. And Bugs Bunny, of course, takes care of that situation. So I always have – me and my friends, I've been watching, you know, those old Bugs Bunny cartoons from, like, the 60s and the 70s, boy. You know, they never get old, and they're funny as heck. I just love it. And that perfectly describes what happened. But let's move forward here. Obviously, Salt Lake loses on aggregate 3-1 on away goal 1-0, and of course 1-1 in the second leg. I've been asking this to all my guests tonight, and I want your opinion on it. Do you believe or do you think either Major League Soccer should start their seasons a few weeks earlier into the month of February? Or do you believe that CONCACAF should push back the start of the quarterfinals, end of March, beginning of April? What do you say?
You know, my personal opinion, just you know, and maybe this is me being, you know, a self-centered American and everything, but I don't see why CONCACAF can't push back their competition just even a couple of weeks. I mean, I understand that they have a calendar that they want to keep. I don't see how this would necessarily affect it too significantly. I mean, alternatively, just flip the group stage and the knockout stage and you know, give MLS teams more of a warm-up against clubs that are going to be more of a warm-up. I mean, it's obvious that CONCACAF recognizes that the other competition in the region outside of Mexico and outside of the United States and Canada just is not the same because, I mean, that's how they seed the groups in the end. They try to avoid having USA-Mexico matchups too frequently in the group stage. So to say that they don't realize that the toughest teams are in the U.S., Canada, and Mexico would be absurd. So I don't know why you would then want those teams to be matched up when one is mid-season and then the other is still just barely coming out of its preseason. It's a strange calendar. At the very least, you know, just move it up a couple weeks and we'd be fine, I think. But, yeah, in the end, I think it showed in all four matches that the U.S. and teams were just not quite up to par yet, particularly in finishing and in the technical aspects of the game, and they paid a price for it.
Amazing stuff here. So how do you feel now? Jermaine Jones traded from the Revolution to the Rapids? And,
well, apparently I'm now obligated to hate him, I think.
Only in the club scene. Wait till he gets on the national team. But you know what this means? You're not going to have him. You're not going to see him for like at least, I don't know how many games, I guess the first three or four games of the season. So,
yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So,
you know, I mean, good for Colorado. It's a good move. I mean, I haven't personally been terribly impressed with Jermaine Jones since he came back over. But at the same time, I mean, New England's record spoke for itself. When he was in the lineup, they tended to win. When he was out of the lineup, they tended to lose. And that's a sign that you've got a good player on your team.
Yeah, it really does. But, you know, I got to say, Kassar, we know last year was his rookie season as a coach. How do you like him so far with what he has done with this club right now? Not even with the season beginning till this coming Sunday. And, of course, I know you're chomping at the bit to get back to Rio Tinto to start this season. How are you feeling he's been doing so far?
You know, and I understand that I may be in the minority here, but I actually think he's done a pretty good job. He made a formation change before last season with the expectation that he was going to have three pretty good forwards that he wanted on the field all at the same time. And due to injuries, he was left with one for a number of months. And as a result, you know, the team suffered in a formation they weren't used to and without the personnel to actually play it. But toward the end of the season, I really feel like with the addition of Burrito Martinez and Plata being able to come back from his early season injury, that they actually started to show a lot more creativity, a lot more ability to get forward and press. And with what we saw against Tigres and Yuramov Sissian's return, it really looks like that attacking trio of Plata, Movsisian, Burrito is going to be one that's going to cause some problems for a lot of defensive back lines. And if there's one critique that I have on Kassar, it would just be, you know, how he uses his substitutions. It seems like he frequently leaves one or two on the table when the game is over. And when a team is getting tired, you know, you got to take advantage of the subs that you have. So, you know, I'd say that's a maybe a solid B minus. He could definitely make a move up in that grade for me this season. It's just, you know, it's kind of make or break. He's got his lineup. He's got his formation that he wants. And as long as no one's injured early on, it's really going to be kind of all on him. So if the team performs, I'll be impressed. If not, then you really start having to look at whether changes are necessary or whether some sort of correction needs to happen.
Absolutely. Listen, Heath, good luck this season. Hope to talk to you down the road and talk more about Real Salt Lake. Good luck in the 2016 MLS season, and we'll keep in touch, sir. Take care. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Dan.
No problem at all. Heath Waddingham, Real Salt Lake Total MLS, RSL Total MLS, as he writes for them. And now here is the semifinal schedule for the CONCACAF Champions League semifinals. On Tuesday, March 15th, first leg semis, Querétaro will be hosting Tigres. Wednesday, March 16th, Santos Laguna, the big matchup against Club America. It's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen here. Two big clubs facing each other. get it, Tara, with the great Viktor Vucetic as, you know, the man's magic. The man's magic is still alive and well, and we'll see what's going to happen here when these clubs go forward. I believe you'll see it on Fox Deportes, as well as Fox Sports 1 or Fox Sports 2 or Fox Soccer Plus. And the second leg of these quarterfinals, second leg of these semifinals will be Tuesday, April 5th. Tigres will take on Querétaro, as Tigres will host Querétaro and Club America will host Santos Laguna at the Estadio Azteca. So usually I like to have John Jagu on. I know he's not available, and that's okay. It's all right. We'll have John Jagu hopefully to preview Mexico and World Cup qualifying. It should be interesting to see what they're going to do now. Obviously, Juan Carlos Osorio is running things on the men's national team from the FMF. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank my guests tonight. I want to thank Jake Dudinsky. I want to thank Adam Serrano, Dave Clark, Heath Waddingham. Once again, MLS goes 0-4 in the quarterfinals of the 2015-16 CONCACAF Champions League. Don't forget, let's go ahead and already talk about those clubs for the 2016-17 CONCACAF Champions League. Once again, it's going to be a brand new set, except for the Vancouver Whitecaps, who were eliminated in the group stage by the Seattle Sounders. And here are the clubs at the moment that have qualified and will be going into their respective pots. Once again, it will be from Mexico in pot three. Right now, the 2050 Apertura champions, Tigres, will be back, UANL. And then, of course, it will be Pumas, who were the Apertura runners-up, the UNAM Pumas, waiting for the Clausura champions and runners-up to see who will qualify here for Tigres. This will be their third appearance in the CONCACAF Champions League once this edition is over. For Pumas, their fourth appearance in the CONCACAF Champions League. From Major League Soccer, we have the Portland Timbers, who won the 2015 MLS Cup. They're the champions. The New York Red Bulls, of course, who won the 2015 Supporters Shield, champions. The Western Conference regular season champions, the FC Dallas. And Sporting Kansas City, who won the 2015 U.S. Open Cup. These six out of eight sides will be in pot three. We're just waiting for the 2016 Clausura champions and runners-up of the Mexican side. And from the Canadian end of things in MLS, Vancouver Whitecaps winning the Canadian championship in 2015, they will be in pot one. From pot two in Central America, Saprissa, Deportivo Saprissa, the Inverno champions, representing one of the two berths from Costa Rica, Honduras Progreso, Apertura champions, Antigua, Apertura champions of Guatemala, Arabe Unido comes back, as they are the Apertura champions from Panama, and they will be in pot two. And in pot one will be El Salvador's Alianza, and now we're just waiting on the second berth of the 2016 Clausura champions from El Salvador, the Nicaraguan champion with the better aggregate record in the 15-16 season, and from Belize, of course, we're waiting for that champion as well with the best aggregate record in 2015-16 season. And the Caribbean Caribbean Football Union Club Championships, we are awaiting for that end of that tournament to see who will qualify out of the Caribbean. And we'll see what happens as we all move forward for those three Caribbean slots for this CONCACAF Champions League for 2016-17. Waiting to find out when the draw will be announced. It'll probably be streamed on CONCACAF.com. Hopefully Fox Sports will show the draw, as well as hopefully Univision Deportes or Univision itself. We'll see what happens. But obviously it's going to be interesting to see what the situation will be. But once again, we're going to have to wait till August once again to restart the CONCACAF Champions League review shows in the group stage. It should be fun. It should be exciting. I personally cannot wait. So once again, My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you very much for listening tonight. As always, please enjoy your football and join me this coming Monday as we're going to have on Brian Korstad from Northern Pitch on everything Minnesota soccer. We're going to have on Peter Wilt discussing the new Chicago club that's going to come into the NESL somewhere down the road. Can't wait to discuss that. And then, of course, Brian Dunseth, analyst for Real Salt Lake and analyst for Fox Sports 1 and 2's MLS and CONCACAF Champions League coverage and CONCACAF Gold Cup coverage. So can't wait for that. My name's Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you for listening to me tonight. And as always, please enjoy your football. Thank you. Have a good night, everybody. Bye-bye for now.